WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Cheer Show.
Martin, you are looking awful dapper today.
Hi, Dan. I wish I could say the same about you.
Happy Tuesday.
Same to you.
It's Tuesday. Good to be here.
Oh, yeah, it is good to be here.
Yeah, Tuesday. So, what's going
on? But it's not my Tuesday.
Well, welcome, everyone. Again, this is Dan Sheridan.
I'm Martin Zender.
And welcome to our world.
Enter if you dare.
Enter if you dare. I hope you've been enjoying the programs.
Because we have.
Yeah, we do. We're having a good time. It was good to hear from some of you. We've gotten some calls.
Yes,
from
we have gotten some good mail, and we're going to start reading some of that mail. But,
yeah, and we're looking forward to meeting some of you in September. September 18th to the 20th, Martin and I have a conference in the Chicagoland area. Go to paulsevangel.com and look under conferences, and you get all the information. It's going to be in a town called Fox Lake, Illinois, which is about a half hour, about 45 minutes north of Chicago. And we hope to see you there as we're going to have a scripture-slinging good time.
Tell them how nice it is. There's a lake
yeah,
right near there.
There's a lake in front of it, and it's a good...
And you're going to walk across it, right, during the breaks?
Possibly. Frozen, yeah.
Okay. It shouldn't be frozen in September. It's still time. You still got time to make plans to be at this conference. I'm going to be speaking there. Dan's going to be speaking. We have a few... Dean Huff, editor of Unsearchable Riches magazine,
and the Hebrew Concordant Version.
Yeah, we got some smart people coming, but Dan and I are going to be there too, so don't worry.
Yeah, that's right. We'll bring them down to the common level.
We need to talk about this path, this church sign. I'm still not done with this because irritated me. The saying that
you need to relax, man.
No, I can't relax about this. Is the path you are on leading you to heaven?
Okay.
All right. Because people will start to judge themselves, and they'll start questioning themselves, and it's introspective, as we mentioned yesterday.
Yeah.
But if you are a son or a daughter of Adam, if you are in the flesh, then the path you are on will lead you to heaven.
Hmm.
It will lead you to God. Do you feel better about me putting it that way?
I think it's probably better that way, yeah, because that's what the Scripture says.
But everybody, we teach, because the Scripture teaches, well, the law of circularity, Romans 11:36. All is out of God, all is through God, and all is into God.
Wait a minute, are you suggesting that God is in absolute control of this universe?
Let me check my notes. All right.
You mean man by his free will can't screw up God's plans?
Wait a minute, here it is. Here it is. Point number six. God is in absolute control of the world. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I know that sounds crazy, but I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe it. And I think that I know that because of the cross of Christ, God is bringing every son of Adam into a vital living unity with him for eternity. And
yes,
we said this, I think, maybe last week, but I don't think maybe people didn't realize how important it was. We talked about the word eternity and that nobody within the sound of my voice is promised in the Scriptures eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people probably thought, what?
Yeah.
I was raised hearing that. What do you... Eternal life. It's all through the Scriptures. It's all through the Scriptures. Well, I'm about to say something that's totally shocking, and I can only say it if I have proof of it, that the word eternal life does not appear anywhere in the Scriptures.
Only in perverted translations.
It might be in the Bible. It might be in the Bible, but it's not in the Scriptures.
Right.
And people get, well, why is there so many translations of the Bible? That's a real good question. It kind of frustrates you, doesn't it? You read one version, and it says one thing. And then you go to another version, and it says another thing. And so many people I know have thrown their hands up in exasperation. How can I know God? And they get very upset and confused, and they just give up on the whole thing.
Or they go nuts.
It's all different.
And some gone nuts and decided, well, we're going to use the King James Version only, because that's the one Paul used, obviously.
Yes, and when you talk like they talk on NPR, the King James Version people talk like NPR, National Public Radio,
right,
and you're automatically smart if you have an accent like this.
Well, people continue now. What were you going with?
I don't know. What was that? Well, I was going that everyone is going to spend eternity with God by virtue of Jesus Christ's cross.
Amen.
By virtue of the cross, everyone, and I need to go to a verse on that.
Go ahead.
And it's Romans 5:18-19. If you've never heard this verse, The path you are on is leading to God. I know that. I guarantee it. I don't care what your walk is like. I don't care what you've been through in your life. By virtue of the fact that you are on this planet Earth, you are going to end up with God for eternity.
Eventually.
Yes. Yeah, we'll get to that. That's the path you are on. Romans 5:18. Consequently, then, as it was through one offense for all mankind for condemnation.
Stop. Wait a minute. Consequently, then, as it was through one offense for all mankind for condemnation. Who did this offense?
I believe that was Adam.
Adam. Okay, continue.
Yes. And it's through one offense for all mankind for condemnation, Adam. Thus also it is through one just award for all mankind for life's justified.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
It says, as it was, thus also?
Yeah, it's a parallel.
Is
what
he comparing Adam with Christ?
It's a perfect parallel.
I was always taught in the Christian religion that though there would be more people condemned in Adam than Jesus Christ would save. Are you suggesting something from these verses?
Yeah, well, look at verse 15, would you?
Why don't you continue at verse 19? Continue. I'm sorry. I just can't believe what you're teaching here.
I know. You were taught, for even, this is verse 19. It follows up on the thought of verse 18, but it amplifies it, makes it even more astounding. For even as through the disobedience of the one man, aren't you going to ask me who that was?
Who's that one man?
Adam.
Okay.
The many were constituted sinners.
Okay.
Who's many? Who was constituted a sinner?
All those connected with Adam.
Yes, which is everybody. All these were constituted sinners. Thus also through the obedience of the one. See, we're playing disobedience with obedience. We're playing disobedience against obedience. We're playing the one man against the one man. The one man Adam against the one man Christ. And we're using this thus also as an equal sign.
For even as thus also, yeah.
Through the obedience of the one, the many, the same many that we just talked about who are
condemned in Adam.
Yeah, constituted sinners. These same ones shall be constituted just.
Wow.
It's Adam and Christ.
Do you know what's interesting about, I notice in this verse? All the sons of Adam are absolutely and totally passive. Adam does something and it affects them.
Yes.
Christ does something and it affects them.
That's a great
point.
We're bystanders.
We're bystanders. We're doing nothing. And why is it that the Christian religion teaches that you and I have to do something? They always say, Adam made your choice, but now you get a chance to make a choice yourself.
Well, they screw up this parallel here. Everyone, the people you're talking about, the theologians, they're willing to admit that everyone screwed up in Adam.
Are you suggesting that Jesus Christ is going to be more successful than Adam?
Wait a minute. Let me check my notes. Is Jesus... Yeah, point six. Jesus Christ is more successful than Adam.
Uh-oh. I'll tell you what. Yeah. Some people just got hot under the collar for suggesting that Jesus Christ is going to save humanity. They're actually mad.
Well, that's
there are people listening right now that are angry that we're suggesting that apart from their works, Jesus Christ is going to save them whether they like it or not.
Well, that's because they don't like to hear that these terrible people, these sinners, are going to be where they are someday.
Wow.
See, they don't want to hear it. But I got news. I got some good news for those kinds of people who are ticked off to hear that.
You mean that guy's going to go to heaven? All the work I did for my church, I tended to the Sunday school, I prepared lessons, I did this, I did good works. Well, the good news is for that type of person that those who believe you do have more. If God has given graciously granted you belief, and that we'll get to this point, you do have more. This is the key to eternal life, which is a mistranslation. But eventually, I mean, it is a great advantage to be a believer today. We're not disparaging that at all. Belief is a gift of God, and if you are a believer, you have so much more than that idiot down the road who doesn't believe. Even though it's no fault of his own, God just didn't give him faith. You still have more. But the common thing we all have is this descendancy from Adam. And as you said, Adam did a work before we were even born and were condemned. No fair. That's what I used to think when I was a kid.
Right.
How can they tell me that I'm a sinner? I'm born into sin. What did I do? Adam and Eve, they ate the stupid fruit. I wouldn't have done it if I was there. I didn't do it. No fair. Why am I condemned under Adam? But you have to turn this coin over because it's not fair either that I'm justified in Christ. And as you said, two individuals acted for the entire race. They were the heads of the race. There's only two heads of the race, Adam and Christ. And what we do has no effect on who we are in Christ. And this gets rid of religion. I've just destroyed religion. That's the bomb.
There you go.
That what you and I do has no effect on the fact that we're in Adam and now we're in Christ. We just switched hands. We're inert. We're sinners. We could not save ourselves, and we were transferred. Our lives were transferred from Adam to Christ.
But wait a minute. I was taught my whole life, Martin, that if I did something, I could save myself. They said that, essentially, that Jesus Christ did 99% of the work, and I have something that I have to do. I have to believe in him. I have to make a wise choice and a wise decision that poor idiot over there didn't make. If I make that wise decision, then I will be justified.
No, if you make that wise decision, then they can put another notch on their belt, so we saved another one. And then you can go to their websites and see that we have saved 25,000 people over the last 3 years. Or you can go to Billy Graham book, and people will say how many so-called souls Billy Graham has saved. That way men can take credit for how many people they bring into the kingdom of heaven, but it's not a work of man.
Right, and that's the important thing. And this gets back to the whole thing with this translation business. The scriptures do not speak of eternity, they speak of the eons, which are time periods. If you're a believer today, first of all, you thank God for it. God gave you that faith. And if you're a believer today, you have aeonian life. That means you, if you were to die today, you are going to be resurrected and vivified before the millennium. You're going to be snatched away to meet Christ among the celestials, and you are going to be alive for the millennial kingdom and the new heavens and new earth. The unbeliever perishes. He will not be alive. He will be exterminated.
Yeah, we love to teach extermination.
He will be exterminated the eons. However,
not for eternity.
Now listen. You don't have eternal life, but you do have immortality in Christ. When we're raised, we'll be immortal, and that's a deathless state. Now, this word eternity has been imported into the scriptures we pointed out in the past, but according to 1 Corinthians 15, after the new heavens and new earth, that time, that last eon of scriptures is fulfilled, Christ is going to hand up the kingdom back to his God and Father that God might be all in all. That is, quote, eternity. That's time. We don't know about time at that point. Time is a creation.
Hold on to that thought of immortality.
Okay.
Because we need to go to 1 Corinthians 15:26, because this ties into that stupid church sign.
Okay.
But you were talking about notches on the belt. And I immediately thought of the same context we were in Romans 5 and 15, which leads up to verses 17 and 18. Right? 15,
yeah,
17,
right.
18.
Yeah,
that's pretty clever how I got those numbers.
Like
but, not as the offense, thus also the grace. For if by the offense of the one the many died, much rather the grace of God and the gratuity and grace, which is of the one man, Jesus Christ, to the many superabounds. So the offense is not as the grace. It's much more. So are you saying that Christ is greater than Adam? He does much more than Adam does.
Exactly. What Christ has done is not just reversed what Adam did. He's added to it. We're not brought back to the Garden of Eden. Christ's work does even more than what Adam does. He doesn't just restore us to innocency. He brings us to a state of glory that's beyond what Adam even
had. And who gets the notches on their belt?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. He notched it up.
It's all about him.
He notched it up at Calvary.
We're going to brag about Jesus Christ. We're going to brag about what he's done. That's what we're here for, to brag about Jesus Christ. Zender and I are going to have a conference in Chicago September 18th through 20th. Come out and visit with us. Go to paulsevangel.com and you will find the information on the website. You can also call us at 847-312-4676. Zender, what's your website?
Will you personally answer the phone if people call that number?
I possibly may be.
You can talk to Dan Sheridan, ladies and gentlemen, in person if you call this number. My website's martinzender.com. And that's where you can find this show as well, martinzender.com.
Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.